Welcome to the March 2018 edition of the Livingston's Herald. We start with the editor's letter. I heard recently about Prince William's competition for a poem to remember to mark the 100th anniversary of the end of the First World War and to reflect on humankind's ability to triumph over adversity. A few days later, the Glasgow Herald's poem of the day featured this one from one of the lesser known voices of the war, Ewart Allan MacIntosh. I'm sure we can all relate to the sentiment and the imagery in the poem. In the glen when I was young, bluebell stems stood close together. In the evening, dewdrops hung, clear as glass, above the heather. I'd be sitting on a stone, legs above the water swung, I, a laddie all alone, in the glen when I was young. Well, the glen is empty now, and far am I from those that love me. Water to my knees below, shrapnel in the clouds above me. Watching till I sometimes see, instead of death and fighting men, the people that were kind to me, and summer in little glen. Hold me close until I die. Lift me up, it's better so. If before I go, I cry, it isn't I'm afraid to go. Only sorry for the boy sitting there with legs aswung in my little glen of joy, in the glen when I was young.
And now the letter from the minister. Dear friends, there was a son, a younger son, whose father was rich and owned a large farm. The younger son and his older brother were involved in the running of the farm. But the younger boy wanted much more than that. He wanted to see the world. He wanted to see the sights and party with the great and the good, at least the great and the good in his mind. So he asked his father for his share of the inheritance so that he could go off and see the world. The father agreed and gave his younger son his inheritance, and off the boy went. He went to different lands and he parted. He squandered all his money on wild living, and pretty soon there was nothing left. Nothing for him to get food, nothing for him to live on. In desperation, he got a job in that country and was sent out into the fields to look after the pigs. Suddenly he came to his senses and decided to go home and seek the forgiveness and mercy of his father. He was still a long way off when the father, who was always looking for his son, saw him. Filled with compassion, the father ran to the son, hugged him and kissed him and restored him into the family. There's so much in this story, which is Luke 15, and it's usually called the prodigal son or the lost son, but actually it's much more about the father watching, waiting, longing for his child to return to him so that he can restore him back into the family. It's a story of God our Father who, if we so desire, lets us go and then, always in love, is looking for our return. He sees us a long way off and greets us, holding us tight and covering us with his forgiveness and mercy. He does this because he loves us. So many times people will say that God is far off, distant, removed, or non-existent, but they're not aware that he's watching out for us, longing, loving, waiting for us to come to our senses and return to him. For me, this is Path of Renewal. It's a way through which we can become disciples of Christ Jesus and connect with God through Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. Once we begin to develop as disciples, we see the way to mission, how we connect with others and bring them the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation he bought for us through his life, death, resurrection and ascension. Path of Renewal isn't a project. We're not doing it alongside everything else that we're doing. It isn't a movement or a way of life. For me, it's something we can use to refocus from the patterns of this world to the grace, love and mercy of God our Father. One of the things that we are using to help us read the Word together is the Bible Project. It's a plan to read the Bible in a year, but sets the daily reading out with a psalm every day to read and to pray around. There were copies of the plan in both churches, but if you want one, either go to the Bible Project website, which is www.thebibleproject.com, or speak to me and I'll get you a copy. There's also an app on the website, which you can download and follow the reading plan on that. By reading the Word together, we're on the road to discipleship. We need to be able to pray together, but not just on a Sunday morning. And that's from Dave.
And now we have a report from the Guild by Dorothy Pennell. As always in the Guild syllabus, we try to have meetings without a speaker in case of bad weather. In January 2018, we had our New Year lunch. The DVD from the Guild annual gathering in Dundee last September, our annual Burns celebration with traditional fare, songs, poems, and a DVD of Burns' life. All these were enjoyed by the ladies. We closed the month with a bring and buy sale in aid of the Guild projects, which raised £183. As I write this report in late January, we are looking forward to a good range of meetings. Feed the Minds is the name of the project on 6th of February, when Ailsa Henderson from Fairlie will tell us about the women and girls in Kenya who are fighting the horrendous practice of female genital mutilation so the girls can stay at school and reach their potential. On the 13th of February, that's Shrove Tuesday, we will discuss this year's topic, loving when it is difficult to love. And on the 20th of February, Eileen Dremner from Largs will tell us the history of hairdressing. Our second concert of this session will be on the 27th of February and will be entertained by the Cigoyners from Fairlie. Tickets are £4. On Wednesday the 28th, there will be a Songs of Praise with our Drossen Presbyterial Council in St Cuthbert's Church in Saltcoats at 2 p.m. We sent out hymn suggestions before Christmas, so join us to see if your choice was chosen. Closing this busy week on Friday the 2nd of March at 2 p.m, the World Day of Prayer service will take place in our sanctuary. Please come and support this global service, this year written by the women of Suriname. There'll be four meetings in March. On the 6th, the Reverend David Watson from Largs talking on an Indian wedding. On the 13th, Christine Watson from Kilwinning. Her title is Keep Calm and Carry On Digging. On the 20th, it'll be our AGM followed by an Agape meal and service. And on the 27th, it's the daffodil tea after the Holy Week service. Even though Easter is earlier this year, we have still had a varied and enjoyable session.
Prayer thoughts. While I am writing this at the beginning of the new year, by the time you are reading it, or in this case listening to it, the year will be well established. Livingston will be taking part in a stewardship campaign and setting out on the path for renewal. Both of these will have discipleship at the core if they are to honour God in the way we participate. In his second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 9 verse 10, Paul says, "For God is the one who gives seed to the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will give you many opportunities to do good and he will produce a great harvest of generosity in you." The spring edition of the Tear Fund magazine highlights similar ideas and picks out church and community transformation as one of its key action points. The article reminds us that we are God's primary agents for mission, to bring people into the kingdom, experience release from sin, and enjoy restoration in our relationship with Jesus. This fits well with what we are seeking to do as a church in our own community. The article finishes by emphasising three aspects of stewardship where we all need to be active, and these are prayer, action and giving. We prayerfully need to consider what part prayer, action and giving play in our lives as Christians. Obviously, personal circumstances can have a major impact on our ability to be involved in action and in what we are able to give. Prayer is quite different. It simply depends on our willingness to spend time in conversation with God, bringing our concerns to him and seeking his guidance. The themes. Approach. Be aware that God desires to be our guide and be prepared to follow him. Confession. Bring before God the times you have missed opportunities to do work for him and ask that you will do better on future occasions. Thanksgiving. In ministry, give thanks for Dave Sutherland and his ministry with us. Stewardship. Give thanks for the opportunities that stewardship offers. Christmas services. Give thanks for the number of opportunities that our community had to be part of a celebration of Christ's birth. Joint services. Give thanks for the work of those who organise, set up halls, provide food at our joint services. Organisations. Give thanks for the number of organisations that meet in our halls. Intercession. Path for renewal. Pray that our journey will empower us in our discipleship in Stevenston. Stewardship. Pray that we will be uplifted by the part our church plays and challenges us to do even better through prayer, action and giving. Pray for those members no longer able to join us in worship. Young people, pray for our young people at whatever stage in school, in particular those facing exams in May and June. And that's from Andrew Tomlinson.
The next contribution is from Wilson Kerr on the Hogmanay Joint Service. On Sunday the 31st of December 2017 at 10:30, a joint Our Dear Livingston service was held in Livingston Church Large Hall. It started off with a light breakfast. There was a selection of cereals with milk, cheese, ham and rolls with tea and coffee. Everyone seemed to enjoy their food and the chat round the tables. Finlay Kerr delivered the reading. This was in three sections. One, the journey of the Magi. Two, the flight into Egypt. Three, the return to Nazareth. All three sections involved being told in a dream. We thought about the time it took for the news of the birth of the Messiah to reach Herod. Compare this to today when news information is instantly available. This was the fifth Sunday in the month. The hymn for the month was from the squalor of a borrowed stable. The two congregations had by now got the hang of the tune to this hymn. And although what 5 weeks ago it was an unfamiliar hymn, we were now confidently singing it with vigour. I must admit, my dad and I like these services, which include breakfast. When's the next one?
For many years now, morning worship on a Sunday has been recorded and made available in the form of CDs for people who are unable to attend church for a variety of reasons. Since 2015, the recordings have also been available on our website, livingstonchurch.org.uk, where an archive of services is still available to listen to. However, not everyone is able to access the internet, so if you or someone you know would benefit from receiving a recording of the service on CD, please speak to your elder when they visit and this can be arranged. And that's from Ross Glover.
And now a letter from Brian Murray. By now, many of you will have met me when I appeared for the first time among you. In case you're wondering who and what I am, let me remind you of why I am with you for a few months. I come from West Kilbride, where I attend West Kilbride Parish Church. The Kirk Session there has graciously given me a sabbatical from leading worship and my eldership duties. I'm progressing through leadership training for the Church of Scotland. My 3 years of study have come to an end at Aberdeen University, where I passed all my modules necessary to obtain my certificate in divinity. Who would have thought going back to school at my age would see me doing that? I've had enormous prayer support along the way. My wife, Deirdre, has been a stalwart in helping me through the training, just as God asked her to do in a dream a few years ago. I have completed 5 conferences and 2 previous placements, so now I'm on the last lap of the journey with you at both Livingston and Our Dear churches. Since joining you on this part of my journey and getting to know Dave, your minister, he insists I call him Dave, I have a new respect for ministers in his situation with a linkage or for those covering large areas as interim moderators. Our ministers and church leaders are working to capacity in their calling. Please continue to bear them up in prayer on every occasion. I believe part of my calling is to help where I can in the church and leading where God directs. At some point in my placement, assessors will come to the churches to see what I'm like. All going well, I expect to be through the whole process by the summer and, God willing, become a reader in the Church of Scotland later in the year. For those who have felt a calling into any stream of ministry in their church and who may be reading this, let me encourage you to follow it up. I first started feeling the call back in 2010, but the process scared me off. I now feel that the time was not what God had in mind. However, a few years later, I had a peace about the whole thing. In fact, it has been a pleasure to embrace the learning and the experience, and I have made numerous new friends through the course, in churches and online. The distance learning programme, although crashing at times, allowed us more mature students, along with the younger ones, to converse online and take part with the lecturers in the classes. It's amazing whom you meet. There were people from the Bahamas, Switzerland and England signing in. We had fun blethering while waiting for the lecturer to sign in too. It's such a privilege to have direct contact with professors and doctors of divinity who I must say were approachable and very interested in my progress. There was always someone to ask or talk to if I had a problem with things or the internet. The lecturers were so helpful in allowing for glitches in the internet systems, especially during exams. On two occasions, I had to email my typing up to Aberdeen as the programme was a bit unstable. Well, that is the position with me at present, so I'll keep you posted. Thank you once again for your support in all this. I trust that I will be of benefit to your churches. I have a heart for prayer, especially prayer of intercession and healing. Singing and playing the guitar and leading worship is another gift God has bestowed on me so that I can encourage and motivate. I hope to play for you as time goes on. My only uncertainty at the moment is not knowing where I will end up. Not that that is a problem. Someone at a conference came to speak to us students and said that even when we qualify, God may not be finished with you even then. Keep smiling and blessings from your visiting brother.
Cinderella 2017. A big thank you to everyone for helping to make the 2017 pantomime a great success. The four-night sell-out run was once again exhausting, but extremely rewarding for all the cast. The show was made even more special as we were celebrating over 50 years of what started life as the opera group. It was great to see so many cast members from the past join us in the audience, and along with our commemorative programme, we were able to celebrate the past, embrace the present, and look forward to the future. A special thank you to all who helped sell ice creams and merchandise at the shop, as well as those who looked after the biggest junior cast in almost 20 years. Without your assistance, the pantomime simply wouldn't happen. The work party also deserve huge credit for not only their work building props and designing scenery, but also for painting the hall prior to the pantomime before we welcomed our audiences. Everyone had great fun rehearsing and performing the pantomime, but you, the audience, are as much a part of the cast as the players themselves. Your attendance each year is invaluable, hopefully to enjoy a great night's entertainment, and of course enabling us all to raise money for Christian Aid. £3,000 this year. Thank you all for playing your part and supporting us. Remember to check our website, www.livingstonplayers.org.uk, for details of our upcoming production. Preparations are already underway for our 2018 programme. That's from Livingston Players.
Now the Fabric Report from Arthur Taylor. Pantomime. We were not asked to do so much this time, but we did make the clock and the Christmas trees. Boiler. Again, we've had a problem with the boiler. I met with a heating engineer who said, as the code 5 had come up the week before, this suggested there was a fault in the fan. As the boiler was out of date, he said that it was possible still to get a fan, but at quite a cost. We discussed the efficiency of the current boilers. One new boiler could replace our two present ones and put out half as much heat again as the present two. This is the result of a reheat system. I asked him to give me a quote for such a system, as yet this has not arrived. In consultation with Bobby Bendelow, the coding has been reset, and so far the system has worked perfectly. Outside light. This has been erratic for some time. Recently, the corridor, kitchen and outside lights failed to go on. I discovered there was a short somewhere. On investigating, we noticed that the sensor part of the light was full of water. The wires were black and indeed were burnt out. We discovered that the downpipe was blocked, causing water to lie along the gutter and damage the sensor. The wires were made safe, a new light was bought and fitted. Sound system. With Brian now assisting at Sunday service, Dave asked if we could fit a complete lapel mic, transmitter and receiver for him. We borrowed a transmitter and receiver from Livingston Players, found a sound jack and PowerPoint in the pulpit where this extra equipment is now fitted. The stage. We've been under the stage and have done a major clear out and floor clean. Future. The next jobs to be tackled are to dismantle the old electric organ on the small hall stage and to scrape the old paint and dirt from the large hall windows. The team. We've had two retirals from the team. Much thanks must go to them for all the work and effort they've put in over many years. If there's anyone who is free to join us on Tuesday evenings, please let me know.
Finance report. The end of the year marks the end of the financial year, and the annual report and accounts are currently being prepared, but these will not be seen for some time. Here is a snapshot of our finances at the end of 2017. The general fund had a deficit of £6,434. That compares to a deficit of £2,266 the year before. This is a worrying trend, and there are reasons for the increased deficit, such as retaking responsibility for the manse, a larger ministry and mission contribution compared to 2016, and an overpayment for the Reverend Hebbington. These will be adjusted in 2018 with a smaller ministry and mission contribution and a rebate from Presbytery towards some of the projects we'll be involved in 2018. I hope we will reduce the deficit in 2018, but your continued support is vital if we are to achieve this. The Fabric Fund had a balance of £7,964, and that compares to £6,159 the year before. There were no demands in the Fabric Fund last year, so we are well placed to meet any unforeseen expenses. And then in brackets, the church boiler comes to mind. Designated funds had a balance of £2,429, which was almost the same as the year before, £2,554. These are funds from the after-service teas and any other activity that generates funds to be allocated by the session. Its balance depends on whether we have any particular project during the year that needs financial support. For example, this year there will be expenses for the minister attending the General Assembly and members attending church conferences. Livingston Players had a balance of £5,359 compared to £5,072 the year before. Another successful year for the Players, having donated £3,500 of their funds and invested in replacement equipment. They have still managed in financial terms to achieve a fantastic result. There were no legacies this year. Our investment with the General Trustees did well, contributing £5,334 directly as dividends, and their capital value improved by over £8,000 and are now above their 2008 value. The Consolidated Fabric Fund held by the General Trustees stands at £25,000, which is about half of last year, as it was realised that this fund should have been shared with Ardeer, but now we know the figure quoted is accurate. The temporary fund paid for the audio-visual system, so has taken a hit. It stands at £17,483. Overall, we have reasonable reserves. It is the current income and expenditure that is most concerning, and that's from Finlay Kerr, our treasurer.
A Cub Brownie, St Andrew's Night Cayley. On the 30th of November, the 19th co-winning Cub Scouts had a joint St Andrew's Night with the Livingston Brownies. The Cubs have been working on the Cub Scout Thistle Award badge, unique to Scottish Cubs. There are 9 requirements for this award. For example, learn Scottish dances, poems and songs. Another requirement was achieved when Antonia and David Cameron came along to our pack night and taught the Cubs some Gaelic phrases. We also held a coffee evening on the 9th of November, the nearest pack night to the 11th, to raise funds for Erskine that takes care of our military veterans. We raised £100. All the Cubs had a part to play that night and did it well. Maureen Dorian, fundraiser coordinator for Erskine, came to the coffee evening and was delighted with the amount. On the 30th of November, the Cubs were asked to meet at Livingston Church. They were not told it was a joint night with the Brownies until they arrived. Surprise, surprise! We each began with our opening ceremonies. The Brownies dancing round the toadstool, singing their 6 songs. This highly amused the Cubs. The Cubs had their traditional opening, the Grand Howl, based on the Wolfpack's Welcome to Akela from the Jungle Book. The ceremony is completed when the Cubs break and salute the Union flag. The Grand Howl highly amused the Brownies. Catherine Reid had kindly volunteered to come and teach some country dancing. She began with the Millennium Jig, which they weren't too keen on as they had to hold hands. There was much covering of hands with sleeves in order to avoid actual contact. Give them a few years. Catherine moved them on to the Virginia Reel and a reel for Jeannie. They began to relax and actually enjoyed the dancing so much they were sorry when the hour's dancing was finished. As a farewell, Catherine taught them Auld Lang Syne. They learnt it quickly and sang with gusto. We gave Catherine a woof, the traditional thank you from Cubs. It was then the turn of the Cubs to entertain. They had been practising as part of the Thistle Award and didn't need much persuasion to go up on the stage to perform. They recited To a Mouse and sang I Belong to Glasgow. They told the story of St Andrew and sang 500 Miles. They soon had everyone joining in. We then adjourned to the small hall where the Brownlee leaders laid on a picnic of Scottish fare, Scottish cheddar cheese, oatcakes and shortbread, all washed down with our other national drink, Iron Brew. The Brownies and Cubs actually blethered to one another. During the picnic, three Brownies, Skye Robson, Emily Bennett and Holly Leckie, entertained by playing Footsteps in the Snow on the violin. Three very talented girls. By this time, parents were arriving to take their Brownie or Cub home. It was a great night. Thank you, Brownell and June McConnell. That's from Dorothy Taylor, the Cub Scout leader, and Pat Gray, the Brownie guide leader.
Stewardship. Whenever we use the word stewardship, it is often met with a roll of the eyes. Surely it's just camouflage for a church asking for more money. Well, while financial contribution to the church cannot be ignored as part of stewardship, it is far from being the whole. We can find many instances in the New Testament which refer to stewardship. None more important than Jesus' parable of the talents. In the parable, those who used their talents were praised, while the person who hid his talent away was not only reprimanded, but the talent was also taken away. The modern equivalent is the phrase, use it or lose it. Paul draws attention to stewardship in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, where he says, there are different ways God works in our lives, but it's the same God who does the work through all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each as a means of helping the entire church. In the passage that follows, Paul makes no mention of money, but instead focuses on giving wise advice, gift of special knowledge, special faith, power to heal the sick, power to perform miracles, power to prophesy. He is emphasising that God's church is made up of people with different gifts, and to be effective, our stewardship of these gifts must also be effective. This raises the question, are we making use of the talents that God has granted to us, be they financial or like the talents listed by Paul? Both Jesus and Paul leave us with no doubt that if we do not actively review our stewardship and use our talents, we are failing in our contribution to God's church. We can keep our stewardship active by our use of prayer, by participation in the church, and its work in whatever way our talents allow. And that's from Andrew Tomlinson.
Now, an article by Alan Kerr on his visit to the Far East. Over Christmas and New Year, I was visiting my friend Naroshini in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, and I combined this with visits to Thailand and Cambodia. I found Kuala Lumpur to be a vibrant melting pot of local Malaysians, Chinese, Indians and expats. The centre of the city, particularly around Independence Square, still carries marks from the colonial era in its architecture, with old British administrative buildings all marked with domes and St Mary's Anglican Cathedral along one side of the square. While there, I visited Sin Se Siya Temple, which is the oldest Taoist temple in Kuala Lumpur. It was very interesting to learn about the culture and philosophy. I also visited the Hindu shrine in Batu Caves outside the city, which has 270 steps up the mountainside leading to it, and a giant golden statue of Lord Murugan at the entrance. After a few days, I moved on to Thailand. In Bangkok, I had a quick tour of the Royal Palace and a ride on the river taxi. My impressions of the city was that it was quite built up and busy, with an incongruous juxtaposition between the very modern and the very traditional. I then visited Kanchanaburi, which may not be the most famous city in Thailand, but is located near the railway bridge over the River Kwai and is home to the Jeth War Museum, dedicated to events surrounding the Thai-Burma Railway in World War II. I went on a trip to Erawan National Park, where I got all the way up to the seventh level of the waterfall. Pant, wheeze, gasp, where I had fish nibble on my feet, which I thoroughly recommend to those of ticklish disposition. Ever since my previous visit to Asia, I have wanted to get up close to an elephant, so it was with great anticipation that I visited an elephant park. Unfortunately, this turned out to be a deeply unhappy experience. I was shocked by the levels of casual cruelty and abuse that the elephants were subjected to. It was distressing for me, never mind for the animals themselves, and I left feeling that I had participated in something that I never should have done. The next stop was Cambodia. In Phnom Penh, I visited both the Russian market and Central Market, met up with my aunt and uncle for a noodle breakfast, and saw in the new year with a firework display over the Mekong. My last major destination was Sihanoukville, which is on the coast, where I got to try snorkelling in the coral reefs and went out for a day trip on a motorbike, which broke down an hour or so out of town. Overall, I had an interesting time and look forward to going again.
The Jam Club. So far this year, the Jam Club have heard the story of Jesus calming the storm. They have drawn pictures and made a movable boat picture. They also performed the play Flags at Sea for the congregation. They have heard the story of the Sermon on the Mount and performed another play called Don't Worry. Our numbers are up slightly, and I have to say that the children really enjoy performing for the congregation. In March and April, the topics will be associated with Easter. I would like to take this time to wish everyone a happy Easter. And that's from Louisa Chisholm.
A letter from the Social Work Department. We here at the Ardrossan Area Team Office would like to convey a grateful thank you for the wonderful Christmas gifts and donations received from you in 2017. Each year we have been overwhelmed by the generosity of your church. In 2017 we were able to reach out and support over 120 children within the North Ayrshire area. Without the generosity of you, we would not have been able to assist the families we support in having a Christmas that they enjoyed and remembered. As a team, we spent the year raising funds to put towards the Family Christmas Dinner Fund so we could provide each family we support with a Christmas chicken dinner. And thanks again to your generosity, we were able to provide families with this and gifts. We hope that we are able to provide the same service to families within North Ayrshire in 2018. We wish you all the best for 2018, Louise Cast, support worker.
And now a list from the church diary of the Holy Week activities which are going on. So on Sunday the 25th of March, which is Palm or Passion Sunday, there'll be services in Livingston Church at 10 o'clock and Ardeer Church at 11:30 from Dave Sutherland as usual. On Monday the 26th, there's a Passion Conference in the High Kirk Halls with the Reverend James McNay at 12:15 p.m. and there's a free lunch provided. And then there's evening worship in Livingston Church at 7 o'clock. On Tuesday, the 27th, there's a Passion Conference led by Reverend Dave Sutherland in High Kirk Halls at 12:15, again with a free lunch, and evening worship in Ardeer at 7 o'clock. On Wednesday, the 28th of March, Glencairn Primary School Easter Service, which is at 9:15 in Livingston Church. And there's Passion Conference led by the Reverend Norman Cruikshank in the High Kirk Halls at 12:15, with its free lunch. The Ardeer Primary School service is in Ardeer Church at 1:30, again led by Dave Sutherland. And there'll be evening worship in Livingston Church at 7 p.m, again by the Reverend Dave Sutherland. So all of that going on Wednesday the 28th. Thursday the 29th, a Passion Conference in the High Kirk Halls, this time led by the Reverend Martin Thompson at 12:15 with its free lunch. And Monday, Thursday service, Reverend Dave Sutherland in Ardeer Church at 7 o'clock, and that will include the Sacrament of the Lord's Supper. On Good Friday, the 30th of March, it's the Reverend Hector Morrison in the High Kirk at 7:30. On Saturday, the 31st of March, there's a Passion Conference led by the Reverend Hector Morrison in the High Kirk at 7:30. And on Sunday, the 1st of April, which is Easter Day, there'll be a dawn sunrise service led by the Reverend Dave Sutherland at Stevenson Point at 7 a.m. And it'll be in Ardeer Church if the weather is inclement. And there's breakfast in Ardeer Church at 8 a.m. And then Easter Day shared worship is with Reverend Dave Sutherland in Livingston Church at 10:30 a.m.